RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to be talking horses with Joe McKinnon on a Sunday morning. And Joe, we're talking about some quality horses this morning with Group 1 racing in Queensland and the return of Classic Legend, a real highlight of winter racing at Randwick yesterday.
Yes, good morning, Warren. It's been a chilly start to the winter months, hasn't it? Very frosty morning where I am this morning, but we were warmed by the racing we saw in Queensland yesterday. The Blue Riband Day for Queensland racing with the Stradbroke Handicap winner. Very impressive. What a thrilling finish that was.
It was a terrific finish, and the performance of Rothfire in the JJ Atkins, I mean, he was backed into favourite, but he was at a backable price. But just talking to Toby Edmonds and the quality of the performance of Rothfire, the son of Rothsay, that we've been talking about in recent weeks, was probably even above his expectations and probably above most. He could be a real star of the future.
It was an unbelievable performance, wasn't it? And we did detail the backstory of Rothfire on this very segment a couple of weeks ago when he last won. We spoke in detail about the breeding of the horse with the breeders who were most excited. So that would have been a great thrill for them yesterday to see him win. And for a horse that was a bargain purchase in hindsight, wasn't he? And a horse that the yearling sales companies didn't want to touch. So he's really proven everybody wrong, hasn't he, with that very hollow victory yesterday in the Group 1 JJ Atkins Plate. He's by a horse called Rothsay, of course, and he stands at one of Queensland's legendary nurseries at Lyndhurst Farm, run by Jeff Kruger, who is our first guest on the Talking Horses segment this morning. Good morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning, Joe.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, I think a large part of it can be put down to Glen Logan Park, because the horse was obviously standing at Glen Logan Park before he came to us. But it's great to have a Group 1 producing sire standing alongside Better Than Ready.
No doubt you've been following him very closely, as he's a great flag bearer for you, stallion. What were your thoughts on his last win and performance? So were you going into yesterday's race with high expectations like others?
Oh, I think so. On the back of his, I think he'd won 5 from 6 and he won them all impressively. And I thought he was a pretty good thing.
Yeah, and so important for your stud farm and the profile of Rothsay.
It surely is. There's not a lot of proven size here in Queensland. When he came to Lyndhurst, he was probably the most proven sire in the state, winner-wise, given that Better Than Ready, Spirit of Boom, they're all new kids on the block.
And tell us how you came to secure the stallion for your roster.
Steve rang me and from Glen Logan and said they were shutting up shop as a stallion operation. And he asked me if I'd take the Glen Logan Stallions, bar Show of Heart and Fablon, as they were being retired. Straight away, I thought Rossay had the most upside. He was the youngest of the stallions there, and he'd had good numbers. He had a good shareholder base, and I just thought at the time, why not? You know, just go ahead and do it.
Well, Rothfire is now one of 6 stakes winners for Rothsay, himself a son of Fastnet Rock. And as you say, after some quiet seasons, he's really bounced back last year, covering 98 mares.
Yeah, the first 2 seasons here, he only covered 28 and 30, and it was quite disappointing. Shareholders had dropped off him. Breeders alike had also dropped off him. And I was beginning to think we'd done the wrong move. But this time last year, prior to Rothfire coming out in October, there were 12 Metropolitan Saturdays in a row. Rothfire had a winner, or some of those weekends there were doubles. So things really started to change. His older horses started to win consistently, and then Rothfire came out, and all of a sudden he had a decent 2-year-old, something Rothfire sort of hadn't had in those earlier seasons. And we'd cut his fee back from 8.5 to 4.5, and the phone just kept ringing.
His fee last season was just under $5,000. Obviously, with Rothfire boosting his value. You'll be reassessing that going into the upcoming breeding season. But then we've got the COVID-19 pandemic and various other economic factors to consider when setting fees for these stallions. What are you thinking for him now off the back of what happened yesterday?
Well, I'm yet to speak to Steve at Glen Logan, but I've got many bookings already locked in at 4.5. I think we're most likely we'll leave it there and take another good book of mares and then reassess coming into next year. At this stage, that's what we're thinking.
So, really, you'd be expecting breeders to flock to him at that very low price?
I hope so.
And to stand alongside Better Than Ready, who's been a fantastic representative for your stallion roster. He had a huge season last year. How's he tracking at the moment?
He's tracking good. It's fair to say he needs a serious horse to come out, but all stallions are in that boat. He's getting a lot of winners. He's still matching it with the big guns on the second size list. He has dropped back to fourth from first position last year, but individual winner-wise, he's hot on the heels of Deep Field. So he's going particularly well off the back of second-rate mares, it's fair to say, and last year the whole picture changed.
It certainly did. And it's been a tough couple of years for you out there on the Darling Downs of Queensland with droughts ravaging the area for some time. How have things recovered there with the rain?
We had good rain in February, but we're back to what it was. Like, we've got no winter crop in. We're only just starting to put in late barley crop now. We have a little bit of irrigation, but things are pretty dry still, and most of our fodder is coming from interstate. So it's not as good as what we thought it was going to be after all that rain in February.
Okay, so tough times, making wins like yesterday for your stallions even more important and such a great tonic.
Absolutely. We've always managed to have a decent sire here at Lyndhurst and a strong support client base, and irrespective of the drought, it's moments like yesterday that keep your chin up.
Yeah. Good to see for you, Jeff. Thanks for joining us this morning to talk horses.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
That's Jeff Kruger from Lyndhurst Farm, who stands the winner of yesterday's Group 1 JJ Atkins. And that's Ross Fire, a son of Ross Day, a great flag bearer for the Queensland Stallion ranks. Now turning our attention to one of the highlights in Sydney yesterday at Randwick. And it was the performance of Classic Legend. He resumes off a pretty lengthy break to win the listed ATC Bob Charlie Stakes over 1,100 metres. And the managing owner of this horse, Carmel Size, is our next guest this morning. How are you, Carmel?
Good, thank you, Jo. I'm extra well this morning.
I bet you are. Were you expecting such a big performance from the horse yesterday?
Oh, we were. We did expect the horse to go into the race and be very, very competitive. We also had our doubts going into it as well. Of course, we were nervous because the horse hadn't raced for 7 months and 1 week. The track was a little bit worse than we expected. There's always the possibility that he was out of his momentum and the horses with the minimum weights were going to be the ones to, chase him down. It was a really tough effort.
Mm. The lengthy break, can you explain to our listeners what that was all about?
Well, if I could have given him a lengthy break, I probably wouldn't have got away with it. But Fate and Fortune has been very kind to us because the horse was booked to go to Hong Kong. I had him on 3 flights to go to Hong Kong. He went into quarantine twice and both quarantines were cancelled. And as it would have turned out, the last cancellation of quarantine, he had to re-enter quarantine for another 3 weeks and he would have landed in Hong Kong in late June. And Mr. Ho's desire was to take the horse home to Hong Kong and then bring him back to the Everest. And obviously, whilst that's a fabulous idea for a Hong Kong horse to return to Australia, it's not a fabulous idea for the horse, you know. So I was able to have a discussion with him, and thankfully he agreed to bringing the horse back to Mr. Bridge and myself to prepare him for the Everest.
He ran sixth in the Everest last year. Were you pleased with that performance? Obviously, it would have been nice to win, but, it's becoming one of the tough races to win on the Australian calendar.
Well, luck in running probably cost him, running higher up in the placings. That was a little bit frustrating, but that's horse racing. Happens every day. Split second decision, you miss a run. But we were happy the way the horse came out of that run, but it did bottom him out. And all last preparation, we knew we were throwing him in the deep end. And, it was our thoughts all along. This was just way in front of him. But we loved the horse so much. It was, just an attempt to keep him in Australia a little bit longer, with our small stable here at Randwick. He was competitive. He didn't run last, So I think this will be his preparation. And the 7 months that he's had off, he's just developed into a very, very strong horse. He's a different horse this time in, I just wish that, you could do that with every horse, obviously the owners are looking at prize money and training expenses and time factors, and it's not possible to do that. But I think this face will deal him a very, very kind card, and you'll see a different horse when we come around to the spring.
So really, in hindsight, that longer break than what you might have hoped for and expected initially has proven to be a blessing in disguise, and he showed that he's come back well with a recent trial win.
Correct. And the horse, the margin wasn't flattering to the horse yesterday, but the ground was so heavy. I think it was beyond a soft track. He carried the 60 kilos. He doesn't handle heavy ground. He trialled in heavy ground, but he's just an athlete. He's competitive and he'll try his hardest, whatever they serve up. And I just think his class came through yesterday.
It certainly did. So the plan, no doubt, then to try and climb the Everest once again.
Well, that's right. Mr. Ho has secured a slot for the next 3 years, so we don't have the pressure of trying to negotiate with somebody or getting selected, to get into the slot. Our job here at the stable, Mr. Bridge, is just got to get him ready. I've got to keep the horse happy. That's my job. And Mr. Bridge can do the planning with Karen McAvoy to get him there. The horse won't step out again until the beginning of spring.
And how is Von Ho faring at the moment? It's been a challenging time for the world in general, but in particular, residents of Hong Kong with all the political turmoil there, the impact of COVID-19 and various other things that are going on with China. Has that impacted at all on his momentum with his investment in racing here in Australia?
Not at all. No, he's had a massive investment this year, and he's also going to support John Moore's entry into the Sydney training market coming up in the near future.
Well, that's a smart move. It will be very exciting to welcome him to the Australian ranks.
Yes, it will. Competition is very healthy. I look forward to it.
And he's been allocated only a small number of stables so far in Sydney. I'm sure that'll change over time.
My understanding is he's gone into partnership with his brother, and the stables are added to the allocation that Gary still has. But that's my understanding. I'm here at Randwick, Mr. Bridge, doing my thing, so I'm sure they'll have a plan to do their thing.
Carmel, thanks for talking to us this morning on RSN, and good luck with the campaign of Classic Legend going into the spring and the Everest once again.
Okay, thanks very much, Jo. Thank you.
That's Carmel Size providing us with some very interesting insights on Classic Legend, Warren. That lengthy break doing in the world of good.
Yeah, and such an astute trainer, Les Bridge. Obviously, not with a big team, but gee, he's the sort of man that just has the skills of an absolute elite trainer. He'll always get the best out of the horses that he has, and I think the strategy of just having that mini preparation, just so that he wasn't having such a long break going from one Everest to the other with that interrupted potential trip to Hong Kong, is ultimately going to work in his favour. And yeah, he was, I think, the unlucky runner in last year's Everest. You could mount a case to say that. And looking forward to seeing as a fully mature horse, and he heads towards some bigger races deeper into this preparation or after a little break, as Carmel outlined.
At the top of the segment, of course, we touched on the Group 1 winning performance of Tyzone yesterday in the Stradbroke Handicap in Queensland. Warren, a bit about the backstory of this horse. He was purchased for $60,000 at the 2015 Magic Millions Gold Coast 2-year-olds in training sale, and he's the best of three winners from four to race out of the winning Hussanay mare, Resonet, which is a half-sister to the stakes place Spirited Eagle, and a daughter of the Mooney Valley winner Residentia by Carnegie, which is a half-sister to Group 2 winner Society Bow and the listed winner Sand Blaster. Resonet died in July last year, and her final foal is a yearling filly by Winning Rupert, who was consigned by Waylon J. Studd to the 2020 Magic Millions Gold Coast March yearling sales, where she was purchased by Mashani Enterprises for $38,000. Importantly for Victorian breeders, the win of Tyzone gave Hussanay, firstly, the honour of siring the dams of two Group 1 features at Eagle Farm following win of Rothfire, of course, in the JJ Atkins Stakes. But neither Hussanay nor the dams of Rothfire and Tyzone are still with us. Tyzone is the ninth Group 1 winner for Written Tycoon, who makes his debut at Arrowfield Stud this season, standing at a fee of $77,000.
As we've heard, Joe, when we're talking to the team at Woodside, the relocation of Written Tycoon is actually probably a positive, that he's at the level that John Massara would look to fill a gap with a horse such as Written Tycoon. I mean, sometimes you get a bit parochial and you like to see those stallions still standing in Victoria, but I think it's a credit to what Written Tycoon's achieved that he's earned a spot on that roster.
Indeed. It's interesting, isn't it? Yes, through parochialism, there's probably been some negativity in Victoria about the move of Written Tycoon across into New South Wales and the Hunter Valley, but I think it's great credit to the team at Woodside to have the foresight, and also good for the image of Written Tycoon longer into the history of Australian racing, that he gets his chance in the hub of Australian breeding in the Hunter Valley at one of the leading nurseries in Arrowfield. It says a lot about the calibre of the horse, and at the tail end of his career, it's going to get him some decent mares.
Yeah, and a question without notice on a broader topic, Joe. Quite often on Talking Horses, and you've had roles with Equestrian Australia, etc. With respect to horses being able to perform at those types of events, is that being impacted significantly by the COVID situation, or are we still able to progress on, and you know, with events such as, and I'm hearing shows getting cancelled, etc. But from an equine point of view, how's that part of the horse world going?
It's been much more severely affected than the Australian racing industry, because there are no equestrian events being staged and haven't been for many months now. Traditionally, across this weekend, the Melbourne International 3-day event would be held down at Werribee Park. It's not happening, and I've had the privilege of attending that event in my role with Equestrian Australia over a number of years now, but no action there. All the horses are at home and getting some great training at the moment. It's been a good chance for some riders to really hone in on their preparation and education of horses, but very frustrating by the same token to not be able to take them out and compete them. Pony clubs, adult riding, all of those gatherings of riders have been put on hold for some time now. So for equestrian people, which includes myself, it is a very challenging time at the moment, because your horses are stuck at home, going nowhere.
We're all in a bit of a wait and see and waiting for government clearances, etc. But is there any time frame on when some of those restrictions might be eased?
No, not that I have heard in recent times, but everybody's sweating on when those dates will be set. So I know there's a number of major events that they made the decision to cancel well in advance because they just couldn't take the risk of all the planning and logistical work that goes into setting up these events only to cancel them, you know, 4 and 5 days out. I mean, most people in equestrian in Australia have to travel vast distances to get to these events, and there's planning and preparation that goes on months in advance. So to have the pin pulled only days out because of the continuation of restrictions was just too high risk for these event managers. So pretty much written off 2020 from an equestrian perspective, largely. Camp drafting, that's one of the most popular equestrian pursuits in Australia at the moment. There are people dotted all over Australia that have got teams of horses that they would usually take to those events. Those events have been cancelled, postponed. It's very frustrating time for the equestrian industry. And I guess that does have some flow-on effect back to the racing industry because it impacts on a lot of those off-the-track horses, which are now being competed by various people across the nation.
And just casting back to thoroughbred racing yesterday and looking ahead, was there any other highlights from racing around Australia yesterday or something you're looking forward to in particular in the weeks ahead?
Well, from an international perspective, Warren, overnight we had the running of the Group 1 2000 Guineas, and it saw the much-hyped return of last year's undefeated champion two-year-old colt, Apina Tubo. But the winner in what was the fastest 2000 Guineas time ever run in history was Kamiko. So a stunning performance by that horse overnight. Kamiko was a $90,000 Keeneland September purchase for David Redvers on behalf of Qatar Racing. And interestingly, Kamiko, Warren, is by Kitten's Joy, which is the sire of their former champion three-year-old Roaring Lion, who died tragically at Cambridge Stud in New Zealand last year. So a good tonic for them yesterday. One of 97 stakes winners worldwide for El Prado's Kitten's Joy. He is the first winner from the Group 3 winning Rock of Gibraltar mare, Sweeter Still, a half-sister to the Group 1 Doncaster Racing Post trophy winner, King Barnes.
I think they're just very happy to have some of that elite racing in the UK now back on the agenda and building towards a Royal Ascot, I suppose, which will be a different landscape, but at least they're back racing, Joe.
And there's much relief about that too. But it was great to see that performance of Kamiko yesterday. For our listeners tuned in this morning that might not have seen it, easy enough to log on and have a look. Go to the Newmarket Racecourse Twitter feed and there's a replay of Kamiko's win yesterday, which is well worth watching.
Great work as always, Joe. Look forward to doing it next week.
Thanks, Warren.